Hey everybody, Phil Vassar here, and welcome to Songs from the Cellar, another best of episode. We're really, really excited. We've had so much footage that we've done the last couple of years, so many episodes, so many artists, and so many great, great times we've had, and we're going to highlight some of them tonight. So here we go, Songs from the Cellar, best of, and go. We've had a lot of great stories in the cellar, talking about artist to artist, and this is a great, great story. Kix Brooks talking about his insane situation with the Rolling Stones, getting to do a show together. Here, listen to this. I remember hearing, said, man, Brooks and Dunn are playing with the Rolling Stones tonight. I'm like, what? And it was in Nebraska, right?
And so in Omaha, yeah.
Omaha. So tell me about that, dude. I got to hear about this. Not all of it, probably.
Well, but yeah, all of it's too long, but
no, I mean,
but we did. It was cool, and I was real nervous because I had seen him play in Memphis that same year, taking my kids to see him.
Right.
And Ronnie and I are both huge Stone fans,
of course.
For us, you know, that's the call. We don't care if you're paying us or what, you know.
Right.
We just to get to say you open for the Stones, you know, that was cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, turns out we had a packed house, and they're singing our songs and whatever. It was just picture perfect, and from back in the room, you know, really excited, and it just everything went great. And their person shows up, you know, and says, hey, the guys would like to come say hey to you before they go on, if you don't mind. I go, you're kidding. I said, no, just one request, please, because they've had a lot of, like, opening acts and aunts and uncles, and everybody wants to get a picture, and you can't get your phone turned on or whatever. So the guys would really like to say hey, if you don't mind, you know, they like to visit. So we've got a photographer. If we could just, we'll take a picture and then they'd like to visit with you. Go, oh, that's awesome. No, that's great.
Yeah, that's good for you too.
So we go down to the green room, you know, we're standing there and we look around, they turn the corner. It's the freaking Stones. There's Mick and Keith, Ron Wood, Charlie Watts. It's like, wow. And they're real skinny.
Which
makes it seem like their heads are real big, you know. I mean, they're in amazing shape.
Oh,
though.
I know.
You know,
it's
they
amazing.
Just are. You just, but
it runs like 20 miles a day,
I know,
or something.
And I'm blown away. And but they're short too. You know, I was. They were just
teeny
weren't as
guys.
Big as, you know, they are on the 800
right.
foot screen that they have on stage with them. And anyway, but it was so cool. And Mick's, oh yeah,
what?
Yeah. And they say, hey, y'all want to say wonderful cage, you know, one of the best evenings we've had. No one. Song about the neon, the moon with the neon. They were all singing along with us. Well, yeah, I mean, no disrespect, Mr. Jagger, but you know, we played in Omaha more than you have.
Exactly.
And then Keith turns around and goes, sir, is that true? You've got 7 guitar players in your band. I go, yeah, but only 3 of us know how to play. So anyway, we take this picture and it's all good, and it was just a great moment in time, and they're out of here. But I'd save confetti from the show. We got a nice write-up. I'm going to make a shadow box with my Stones moment. So I start calling my manager about 3 months later. So, Clarence, where's our Stones picture? I don't know. I'll check on it. You know, a couple of months go by. Where's my son? I don't know. I don't want to bug him. I will bug him. I want my Stones picture. He calls up one day. He's just howling. I said, what? He said, I got your Stones picture. I go, and? He said, and Mick Jagger's about 4 inches taller than Ronnie Dunn. I went, what? Yeah, all of them are bigger than us in the picture.
No freaking way.
I don't.
How does that work?
I don't know.
I want that Photoshop
grew,
guy, man.
They just
dang, man.
I love it, though.
Dude, that is crazy, man. Stuff. I love it, man. That was awesome. Now, don't go anywhere. We've got more from Songs from the Cellar. Be right back. You know, we've had so much fun doing all of these artists. Some of the greatest artists in the history of the music business have been in here, Hall of Famers, and I've loved having those guys. But also, one of the things I've loved doing is introducing you to some new artists we love. And here's one, Lexi Hayden.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for dropping by the cellar today. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited about this segment in particular because there's so much talent all over the world. I mean, we travel the world and see it. We have openers. We have other acts in other towns we get to see. But Nashville, let me tell you, has so much talent that's bubbling under. And that's why I'm really excited about this. I get to introduce Lexi Hayden today. She's so sweet. And she's been here for, what, 6 months now? No, just kidding. I'm just playing. How long have you been? You're right. How long?
Four and a half years, actually.
So 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about Lexi is she went to JMU, James Madison, mm-hmm. where I went. So anyway, so she's awesome. She's going to do great. And
yeah.
And but I heard this song, Relit Cigarette, that I just love it. I mean, it's really, really great. Your voice is beautiful on this, and it's just a stellar song. So tell me about this song, Relit Cigarette.
So we, me and my producer, Derek George, mm-hmm. and Monty Criswell, we mm-hmm. wrote this song over 2 years ago, and it was something that we knew was super special, mm-hmm. and I knew I was always going to put this song out, and it ended up being the second single, but it's the response to this song was just amazing.
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
It really should be. I mean, I think that's the one thing, you know, as you, and I've seen you develop as a writer over the last several years. You know, you just have to keep on writing songs until you kind of find your groove. And
yeah.
And it seems like to me you're kind of hitting your stride right now. And
when I look at songs I wrote when I first moved here, I feel like a completely different person. I can't even listen to them anymore.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you grow as a person and you also grow as a songwriter and a singer, all these things as an artist. And it does take time sometimes. I mean, we're not, because I've had people say, man, you need to write another song like that. I'm like, well, I'm not that same guy anymore I was 20 years ago when I wrote that song. And I think that's the cool thing about what we do, because, you know, your music changes right along with you and your personality and your life.
And the people you write with. Like, when I started writing with my producer and he was bringing all these people in that were really challenging me as a writer, mm-hmm. I was getting way better songs because these people were really making me want to write the best songs, right. And pushing me in the room.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you write to your level a lot of times, you know, mm-hmm. It's like sports or anything, you know, you know, when you play tennis with somebody that's not very good, you don't usually play very well, but songwriting is definitely the same thing. And I love it. I've seen you grow a lot in the last couple of years. And I think you should do this song for everybody. And I'm going to play it with you, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. All right.
Should've known better, damn, I love that bar. There you were, blowing smoke rings in the dark. I didn't waste no time taking a drag. Guess a part of me still hooked on what we had. Here I am, quarter after four, with high heels in my hand, slipping out your door. What the hell was I thinking? Putting a match to that old flame, ain't it a shame? Slipping out your door, what the hell?
Wow. There you have it.
Thank you.
Lexi Hayden, Songs from a Cellar. One of the greatest duos in country music right now and one of the hottest acts is Brothers Osborne. Amazing guys, TJ and John, amazing singer-songwriters. We got to do It Ain't My Fault here in the Cellar. Definitely a highlight for me. Let's go back and watch that. It ain't my fault. Slow. Well, let's do the tune, man. I love it. Let's just do that, man.
On the beer, blame the beer on the whiskey, blame the morning on the night for who's lying here with me, blame the bar for the band, blame the band for the song for the party that went all night long, but it ain't my fault, it ain't my fault, I might have had a little fun, might have wrong, got done, but it ain't my fault. Hurtin', blame the hurtin' on the heart, blame the dark on the devil, blame the devil on the dark, blame the X for the drinking, blame the drinking for the X, blame the 2-for-1 tequilas for whatever happens next, but it ain't my fault, it ain't my fault. I might have had a little fun, I don't wrong, got done, but it ain't my fault.
Reason on my name, blame my name on my reason, blame my lacking on better on public education, blame smoke on the fire, blame fire on the smoke, the fire on the bouncer that couldn't take a joke, but it ain't my fault. I got my hands up, I need an alibi, find me
testify. You made a mistake, you got the wrong guy. I'm only guilty of a damn good time. No, it ain't my fault. No, it ain't my fault. No, it ain't my fault.
Oh, I don't even know what to say. Brothers Osborne, we'll be right back, y'all. One of the greatest episodes I ever got to shoot was with Vince Gill. Vince is one of my oldest, dearest friends in Nashville. And let me tell you, this guy, he's not only one of the most talented human beings, but he's also one of the best human beings I've ever known. And we've had so much fun just hanging out together, talking, and just we had so much content. We just sat here all day and just talked. So we're going to show you some stuff we didn't get to show you the first time. Here we go, Vince Gill. You know, this is, you know, we're talking about music business and how, I mean, of course, life humbles you as it is, but the music business is even worse. but I was, you know, I just had, this is when I kind of, like 99, 2000, when I first, of course, the 90s, 80s, 90s, it was just like Smoke City, MCA, Arista. We were talking about our record labels and how much was going on. And you know, I'd been here for a long time trying to get a deal. So I just had a couple of hits, and then my first singles came out, you know, had a couple big hits. So I'm going back home to do this little thing in my hometown, and I'm getting off the bus, and this guy comes running up, Phil, hey! I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he goes, Donna, get over here. It's Phil. Phil's here. I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm like, this is big, big time stuff, right? So he goes, and she's like, she comes over, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's all good. She's like teared up, and she grabs me by the arm. She goes, Phil. I said, hi, how are you doing? She goes, do you know Vince Gill? I said, huh? I said, what? She goes, she loves Vince Gill. Please tell me you know him. She's like, do you know him? Have you ever been in the same room? And she was crying. I was like,
Lord.
I'm just like, oh, my God. She goes, I swear I love Vince. I'm like, yeah, he's an amazing guy. Right. But I was just like, it was like God going, see, you ain't nothing.
I'll tell you a good one on me.
That was awesome.
This happened just a couple of years ago, two or three years ago. I was out traveling with, I think, the Time Jumpers. We were out doing a bunch of dates and a band I play with here in town on it's Monday nights, and it's a swing band. It's big fun. So we're out there playing in the middle of nowhere in Amarillo, and I decided to go eat this Mexican meal with this old buddy of mine that I used to be in a band with 40 years ago. So we picked this little place in the barrio, and there's bars on the window and all this stuff, and I go in there, we sit down, and the food is incredible, and loving the meal, but there's this dude sitting across, you know, across the restaurant in overalls, the cowboy hat, toothpick in his mouth, and he's just eyeballing me, won't stop. It's just, man, it's just death stare the whole time I'm in there eating. And finally, we were done, and we were getting ready to leave, and he kind of sauntered over, and he said, buddy, should I have been looking at you the whole time you've been in here? I said, yes, sir, I know. And he said, I swear to God, he said, if Vince Gill were to put on about 70 pounds, he'd look just like you.
He did not.
He did. And you picked me up. I was on the floor. I was laughing so hard.
No way.
And I got up and I said, well, mister, I said, I did and I am.
No way.
He never made the connection. It was me. He just left.
And he just left?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So yeah, everybody's going to get it at some point.
Well, you know, it's good stuff. It's good though. I mean, it's like I said, God smacked you in the head a little bit.
Can you whistle?
No, you do it. You do it.
I'm a turtle.
almost got it right, Kicks. I almost got it right. Thank you so much for being with us tonight on Songs from the Cellar. We've had so much fun just recapping some of our great times we've had here. We appreciate you. We love you. And thank you. And we'll see you again on Songs from the Cellar.